Hello and welcome to the Inquiry Teacher podcast. I'm your host, Matt Fletcher. I'm on a personal journey of self-discovery, seeking to uncover the secrets of becoming an inspiring educator. In each episode, I'll be joined by experienced educators who excel in their fields, engaging in conversations that touch on a wide range of topics. We'll explore the strategies, stories, and insights that can help all of us on the path to becoming better educators. But that's not all. We're not just looking at the past, we're also keeping our gaze firmly on the future of education. That's why I'll be sitting down with entrepreneurs from the ever-evolving world of EdTech. Together, we'll delve into innovative solutions and trends that are shaping the classroom of tomorrow. Whether you're a teacher, a student, a parent, or simply passionate about education, then this podcast is for you. So join me on this exciting journey as we unravel the mysteries of teaching and learning. The Inquiry Teacher podcast is here to inspire, inform, and empower you on your own educational quest. This week's guest is Melissa Dean. Melissa is from Canada and has a diverse background spanning various subjects and year levels. Melissa has found her passion as a math educator on a mission to shake up the norms. Join us for an inspiring conversation as she challenges the status quo in education. Okay, hello Melissa. Thank you for joining us on the podcast today. How are you?
I'm well, thank you. It's great to be here.
Yeah, I mean, we've been communicating a few times, haven't we, on social media about getting this done. So it's great to finally get you on to have a chat.
Yeah, I'm so glad that we could finally connect.
Okay, so could you give an introduction of yourself and your career to date so our listeners can become a bit more familiar with you?
Sure, that'd be great. So I've been an educator for 21 years. And I have worked in K through to 12 classrooms in a variety of different contexts as a homeroom teacher in the middle school years. I've worked as a special education teacher in the primary years. I was a band teacher for 10 years, so I taught instrumental music. And currently I am a high school teacher, and I teach math, biology, and have the awesome privilege to teach in our interdisciplinary studies course, where I get to teach science and English and geography all together in one happy package to grade 10. So I've been teaching, I teach in Canada. I live right now in Manitoba, which is one of the prairie provinces, but I did most of my education in Toronto, Ontario, and worked there for most of my career. I've also had the privilege to be a consultant for the school division that I work in currently right now. So I worked as the grade 7 to 12 numeracy coach. So I've been kind of around education for a while and done a variety of things, and have dabbled in a lot of different subject areas as far as things I'm really passionate about. But the thing that I'm really, really excited to talk about and to learn about is about mathematics education and assessment and evaluation practices, and those are things that I have really pursued in my career as areas of interest.
All right, great. So a lot of experience and a lot of different subject areas as well. So
yes,
it's really great to have you on to share that knowledge and wisdom with us all. I was really interested to get you on because I think we share a passion of the inquiry-based approach and how we can use that in our classes to create agency and learning with our students. And one thing I'm very interested about is I'm not a math teacher, I'm an English teacher, but I'm really interested in getting to know how you apply this type of learning in your classrooms, and hopefully give some advice to perhaps some of the teachers listening who are math teachers that are interested in trying to go for a more student-led approach.
Yeah, it's been a really interesting journey for me. I started out as a science and English teacher and then found myself teaching math. I did not enjoy math as a student. I really struggled with it. I was very much a proponent of memorizing steps and just following the procedures. That's what I was good at. That's what I, how I was taught mathematics. But then when I became a mathematics teacher, I found that my students were experiencing the same thing I had experienced and realized there had to be a different way to take on teaching mathematics. So I embarked kind of on a journey of my own sort of professional learning to reimagine, if you will, what mathematics education could be like. And in my career, I've really, especially recently, done a lot of reading and researching around the inquiry-based approach and have really found that it, while it is radically different from traditional mathematics teaching, just like it's different from traditional teaching in general in any subject, it really blows the doors open when it comes to helping students really engage in the mathematics in a different way. It requires a whole different mindset as an educator and as a student, because it really means that it takes the mathematics classroom from being teacher-centered to being student-centered. And that is the biggest flip, I think, that we have to make when we take on an inquiry-based approach, recognizing that the teacher is no longer the ultimate holder of knowledge. And I think that is an approach that can be and should has a place in the mathematics classroom. I don't know that it's not an easy one to adjust to or to really dig into. It does take a lot of it takes a lot of reframing our understanding of what mathematics really is. So in order to become a sort of an inquiry-based mathematics teacher, you have to have a change in what you believe mathematics is about. And you have to change your mindset from mathematics being about procedures and formulas and numbers and right answers to it becoming a subject that is about curiosity and wonder and beauty and patterns and the way things work together. And that's a big shift for a lot of people.
Yeah. Why do you think it's a big shift, even more so with mathematics? Because, I mean, just with the people that I know and have worked with, mathematics seems to be the subject that is perhaps more difficult to teach within an inquiry scope. So, what are some of the challenges you had at the beginning, and how did you adjust to them? Like, what would you do differently now if you could start straight away?
I think the reason why mathematics is such a hard one to think about in an inquiry mindset is, unlike other subject areas, maybe a little bit in the sciences, but as a biology teacher, I don't find it the same. Mathematics is so often viewed as a subject that's either right or it's wrong. And it's seen as, my experiences of it has been that it's very, this is the content we need to share. They need to just share the content. And then they need to learn just, memorize the content or just get through all of these standards that we have to cover in a mathematics classroom. And so I think that's why it's a little bit more challenging. Mathematics teaching anyways, tends to be very much inside a box, because I think we're constrained by what we think of as assessment practices in mathematics, and that it's very tied to product heavy assessment, writing a test, writing a quiz. That's how you show that you know mathematics. And becoming an inquiry-based teacher in mathematics means that you really have to reimagine what you think assessment is and how assessment works. And if I was going to go back and do my, restart my journey again and think about, really boil it down to what the starting point is, now I'm at a point in my career, in my understanding, that really diving into those assessment practices and what we believe about assessment and its role in the classroom, especially in a mathematics classroom, that's really got to be the starting point, because all of our instructional decisions really stem out of what we believe about assessment, especially in mathematics classrooms. And mathematics classrooms tend to hold really tightly to traditional models of assessment. And so if we're going to change our instructional practices to be about inquiry, then we have to also shift our assessment practices. And I think that's probably the hardest part to change when it comes to math classrooms.
Yeah, there's some really good points there. I think that kind of holds us back in a lot of ways of trying new things, isn't it? The assessment practices.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, I mean, that's a huge conversation in itself. And I know it's something you're very passionate about, seeing some of the things you share on your profiles. What would be, what would be some of those easy changes of approaches towards assessment? Do you think that teachers who want to get into inquiry-based learning but feel restricted by the criteria that they've been given or what they need to assess, is there a way that you've approached being able to change it?
I think an easy way is the place that I started was making a shift from assessing my math tests out of points. So when I first started my career, I used to like design a math question and decide sort of, I guess, randomly off the top of my head. It seemed to make sense at the time, you know, how many points this math question was going to be out of. And then I would think about, well, what are the steps? How do I get the points? And then I would decide, okay, so this question's out of 5, right? For example, and then students had to magically read my mind to know what those 5 points were. But that's how I start. And then, you know, you just tally up your points and you get a percentage out of, you know, whatever your total number of points were on math test. But the place I started my change with around assessment was when I started recognizing that there could be a different way to teach mathematics, was assessing a math test using a rubric rather than out of points. And I think we're familiar enough now with rubrics in the education setting that we can maybe imagine how a rubric could be used on a math test in place of points. But that was my starting point, and thinking about moving away from being sort of points based to looking at the test as a body of evidence and deciding on a rubric where the student's learning fell, where the demonstration of learning was. And making that change on all of my pieces of formal evaluation to be rubric-based assessment rather than points-based assessment. So I was still assessing the same way. I was still using a test. I was still using a quiz. But instead of giving points out for each question, I was beginning to look at the test and quiz more holistically for an overall level of achievement, an overall level of understanding of the math test. And that shift was sort of where I started, and it was sort of a good starting point for students and parents and other teachers as well when I was sort of sharing this journey. And, you know, there's, when you make that shift, especially around assessment and mathematics, and things start going home to parents, and there's not a number out of 80 out of whatever on the top of the test, there's a piece of paper stapled to it with the rubric, right? That causes some concern, some conversation. But being able to have that rubric at the front and being able to talk through, like, well, this is where your student's level of understanding is, and this is how I got it. That was a really great starting point for me, because I hadn't totally thrown the tests and quizzes out the window, but I was beginning to change what the assessment piece looked like. And that was because I was familiar with rubrics in other settings. You know, I was a middle school teacher for many, many years, so I was responsible for teaching ELA and social studies and science and history and geography and drama and dance and all those things, right? I was familiar with using a rubric in a whole bunch of other settings, and I thought, well, why would I not be able to apply that knowledge of using that type of assessment tool in a mathematics classroom? So that was a really easy sort of transition, if you will, into starting to rethink assessment in math.
All right, great. Thank you for that. Yeah, it's I think it all comes to that mindset of switching to the rubric and building that rubric together and collaborating on, you know, what it is to get to your expectation or what it is to get that particular grade, right? Yeah. If we're setting students up on a path where they don't know where they're going with it, then it's kind of missing the point of what education should be about, really.
Absolutely. Right.
So through inquiry-based learning then, what sort of benefits have you seen students gain on both their problem-solving and critical thinking skills using your inquiry-based methods in math?
It's been a really great journey to watch kids over a course of the last, so I would say I've been using sort of inquiry-based mathematics teaching principles for the last 10 years or so. And seeing the change in the depth of understanding through being able to become better problem solvers, better critical thinkers, making the shift from always just getting answers to starting to ask questions of the mathematics themselves, that has been a huge change in what I've seen students go from being very passive learners to very active learners. And by flipping that switch to making our students much more active in the learning process, it really means that their problem solving becomes greater. It becomes deeper. Their critical thinking becomes deeper and more about the conceptual understanding of the way numbers work together. And rather than staying on the surface understanding of just memorizing information, it also, in some ways, you know, I hesitate to use this word, but it sort of humanizes the mathematics a little bit more. It draws in that sense of curiosity that we have about learning in other subjects, I think, that maybe we don't have about mathematics. I know, like, I always thought growing up that mathematics was a very static subject, that there wasn't more to discover, there wasn't any more to learn about mathematics. It was just set in stone and we just learned it. But opening sort of the door to learning through an inquiry lens helps students understand and see that there is much more to mathematics than just those, than what we've already discovered, that there are still things to learn and still things to discover. And it really builds a sense of curiosity. And I think that is something that all teachers, regardless of the subject, regardless of our approach, we have a mandate, I think, to recapture curiosity for our learners, because they come in, students come into school so curious about numbers and curious about how things work. And then, you know, by the time they get to us, you know, right now I teach grade 9, and the curiosity about how things works pretty much is gone. So I think it's our mandate to recapture that curiosity, and using an inquiry-based approach has really helped build that curiosity back into the classroom, because I'm throwing things on, turning things on its head, if you will, right? Instead of starting off by me saying, here's what we're going to learn, now I will tell you all the things you need to learn. I'm starting off with, hey, here's a problem. Here's a pattern I've got. Here's a picture. What do you notice? What do you wonder? What questions do you have? And then running with those student questions, right? We're building those skills of actively seeking problems and then actively seeking answers. And that's a skill that's going to transcend all education classrooms and all whatever places they're going to go to after they leave the classroom. I mean, we don't, you know, we can't say we're preparing students for future jobs or for the real world, if you will, because who knows what the real world is going to look like for them when they get out of the classroom. We don't know what jobs they're going to have. But we do know they have to be able to be curious and seek out questions and seek out problems to be successful. So those are the things I've really seen blossom in my classroom.
Yeah, that's great to hear. Some good examples. I love that, getting them to wonder the questions, using provocations, getting them to think a little bit differently. Gets them excited in the learning as well, doesn't it? So it gets them to...
Yeah, it starts off with... I used to start off my math classroom with a very static sort of do now problem. Like, here's a problem from yesterday. Just, you know, go and do it. And sort of kids would come in and just be like, oh, okay, here we go. We're diving right in. But now starting with something that turns to wonder, it's very active right away. And it draws them in. They can't help but be engaged in what I'm asking them to do, because everybody... everybody can ask a question. Everybody can wonder about something. Everybody can tell me something they notice about the problem or the picture or the pattern that I've put up. So everybody is immediately able to be successful. Whereas I found when I had a more traditional approach to mathematics, I was leaving some students behind more than I wanted to, because there was a sense that not every student was able to enter into the learning right away. And I really wanted my classroom to be a place where everybody could enter into learning right away.
Yeah, it reminds me of my experiences of math when I was at, you know, at school. I kind of felt, you know, that it got advanced too quickly perhaps, and maybe I was just left behind of that learning, and I was kind of seen as, you know, as a student that perhaps wasn't accessing the materials or not. But if I was to be given an alternative approach to be able to think, maybe I thought differently to some of the other students, you know, it would be a massive difference. I would really have, you know, enjoyed being in that type of learning environment. It'd be, you know, it perhaps I would have been a math teacher now.
There you go.
So what about your classes? Is there a particular like activity that you've done with students that they all found engaging, or like a project within maths that's your go-to, or something that stood out for you?
I think the thing that stood out to me the most, that's really was the starting point for me seeing how amazing this sort of approach to mathematics could be, was the first time I showed students the Prime Climb game poster that has, so Prime Climb is a game, I don't know if it has made its way over to where you are, but it's a mathematics game that's based on factors and multiplying, and it's a series of circles, and all of the numbers have a circle around them, and then you can see the division based on color of what their factors are. And so there's a poster of the numbers 0 to 100, 1 to 100, based on these colors and these circles, showing the prime factorization of each number, just based on color. And I had worked in a situation where students had really felt that math facts was what was holding them back. They were held back by multiplication factors and memorizing math facts. And showing students this image of these numbers in 1 to 100 broken down this way so that they could see the prime factorization immediately based on color, it's my go-to really to help students understand and see that numbers work together, because that is something that I think kids miss. They miss the number sense of how numbers work together. And I mean, I know I missed it when I was a student. I didn't have any sense of the connectedness of number and the way numbers work together in patterns, and the way prime numbers worked and composite numbers, and understanding the connection between factors and multiples and just the whole world of the way numbers are interconnected. And so I always start off showing students this image and asking them the what do you notice, what do you wonder prompt. And it always starts off with very simple things like, oh, I notice there's numbers. I notice there's, even in grade 9, I notice there's numbers. I notice there's circles. And they think they're being funny because they're just telling me the obvious things. But then when I dig a little bit more, you know, they start to say things like, oh, I notice there's different colors associated with different numbers, you know, that 2 is always orange and 5 is always blue. And I notice that the 10 circle has an orange and a blue. Oh, I wonder if there's a connection between the 2 and the 5 and the 10. And they start to see this pattern of the way the numbers in the hundreds chart are organized. They've only ever seen a multiplication chart before with just the numbers and the rows that they've had to memorize. And this image shows them, yes, the numbers and one that they've had to memorize, but it shows them the way the numbers, those numbers that they've rotely memorized, the way they actually work together. And that there's actually, you don't actually have to memorize your math facts if you understand how the numbers work together. And that is my most favorite thing to show students. It's been really successful in helping students make the shift to noticing and wondering things in math class, because it's a common framework. Again, everybody, when they come to me in grade 9, or when I taught grade 7, or when I taught, you know, I worked in a special education classroom with grade 6 students, they've all seen a multiplication chart. It gets drilled into them as soon as, you know, I have a son in grade 5. I think he started bringing multiplication charts home in like grade 2 and grade 3. So they've seen these multiplication charts that they've had to memorize without really, really understanding why it works and the pattern behind it. So it's an image that everyone can enter into. And then everybody can start to notice and wonder, and you can feel the excitement build as kids start to see how the numbers work together. So that's my favorite. That's my go-to. I start every year off that way, regardless of the grade, regardless of what we're going to study as our first set of concept, our first concept of study, because it's something everyone can enter into and everyone can ask a question about. And starting to see the way that numbers work together is really, really crucial for any mathematics classroom, but particularly in a classroom where I'm asking kids to actively ask questions about the way things work together.
Yeah. And so the role that you're playing there is perhaps, rather than being directed, you're facilitating those experiences for your students. And perhaps that's the first shift, and the difficult shift is becoming that facilitator rather than, you know, that stand in the front teacher. What advice would you give to not just math teachers but educators in general of, you know, shifting from that teacher-led standing in the front of the classroom to becoming a facilitator or becoming a part of the learning in the classroom with the students?
I had the recognition, especially as a math teacher, a few years ago, that especially with the proliferation of things like Khan Academy, which is like an online math website that's used quite frequently here, and you know, with AI being built up in classrooms now and apps that will do the math for you, I had the recognition that any of the content that I was teaching, kids could just Google online. And so it was my job then, instead of sharing the content, just sharing content, was teaching kids how to do something with the content. And so, you know, when you're starting to make that shift, learning to trust that your students are going to ask questions that you maybe don't know the answer to, number one, that's going to happen. But trusting that they're going to be able to get to where you want them to go through this process of stepping to the side, showing them a problem, showing them even, you know, still, you know, doing a worked example on the board if you're just starting out, and then stepping to the side and asking kids, what do you notice, or what questions do you have about the way this works? That's always the first step when it comes to transitioning from being a traditional teacher-centered to student-centered, is finding ways to turn the questioning back to the students. So even something as simple as, you know, doing an example on the board, and then before kids go through and ask and start doing their practice problems, you know, asking for something like, I'm looking for three questions. I'm gonna ask for three questions that people have, and waiting for them to ask those three questions. I have found that works was part of my journey in all of my subjects, was looking for ways to ask students questions for them to start to take on the role of main, you know, being able to step to the side and trusting that they were gonna learn to ask good questions. And that is a skill that you have to teach kids. So I had to spend time in all of my classes teaching kids how to ask good questions. And once you've taught your students how to ask good questions, then you can start to stand to the side a little more and let their questions guide the learning. But that's a skill we have to teach our kids, to ask good questions and understand questioning as a learning strategy.
Yeah, totally agree with that. One good technique is the, you know, the question formulation technique. I don't know if you've used that in your yeah. class. That's a pretty good go-to if anybody is interested. I think I can link some of those resources in the show notes, but that's a great way to start to get students, give them a prompt or provocation and let them see the types of questions and the types of language we want to use in the classroom to come out. So have you ever encountered any like resistance from students or parents with using the inquiry-based approach in your math classes? Because depending on where you are, I suppose the way in which people believe math should be taught, or the expectation of how math should be taught, or the style, I think, is perhaps different where you are. You know, I'm in an international school setting, and the approach of teaching math, expectations from parents wise, is completely different to the curriculum that we use. So I'm just interested to know, if there's been any pushback from students or parents, and how you dealt with that.
Yeah, I would say I teach in a setting where they're very used to a traditional model of math education, and then they come to my classroom, and I start off by telling them right away it's going to be different from what you have experienced, and certainly. The pushback from students that I hear sometimes is, how is this mathematics? Like, when are we going to do the math? Because in their head, they've associated math with textbook questions and worksheets. And not to say I don't use textbook questions ever, or I don't use a worksheet ever, but it's not the basis of my math classroom. So they're used to thinking that that's what math is. We do worksheets, we do textbook questions, we do homework, we take up the homework. So getting students on board by helping them experience math in a different way is really, really key to then helping parents come on board too. Because a lot of the pushback that I get is I don't assign homework. Things don't go home with marks on it. If things go home, I do a lot of gathering of my evidence very organically within the classroom setting. Being able to explain why you're doing what you're doing, being able to answer that why are you doing it this way, is crucial. And that goes for, I think, anything in any setting in education. Like, if you can't explain the why behind what you're doing in your classroom, then you probably shouldn't be doing it. Like, you need to understand why it needs to be purposeful. So being able to see, setting the foundation for watching their kids flourish in a math classroom when they haven't in the past, is what has been really crucial in getting parents on board. Seeing their kids experience math in a different way, even though it's different from what they have experienced, It does require a little bit of trust in the teacher, that's for sure. I had parents come up to me and tell me afterwards, you know, we weren't sure, but we decided to trust you, and now look where our child is. They're flourishing in mathematics and have gone on to other math classrooms. And a lot of concerns that I hear are, you know, how is this preparing them for the next grade? Or, you know, when I taught middle school, how is this preparing them for high school? Because are they going to see this approach in high school? And the amazing thing about teaching through an inquiry lens is that kids go on to be successful in whatever kind of classroom they face next. And being able to reassure parents, you know, this approach is going to help them be successful in whatever they face, because they're going to become problem solvers and adaptable and resilient learners. And those are skills that are going to translate into success in whatever kind of classroom comes after this. But being able to help parents sort of see things differently does come through a lot of conversation. It means you have to be in communication. I send a lot of newsletters home. I try to build student portfolios so that parents can see what the math is that we're doing in the classroom. Because it's very different, parents don't always see what's happening in the math classroom. They just hear through what their students are doing, because a lot of stuff doesn't go home. There's not homework. There's not things coming home being marked generally, because we do most of our learning in the classroom. So showing our parents what's happening in the classroom through social media or student portfolios, celebrations of learning nights, you know, getting them in to see it in real time as much as possible. That's been really key in helping parents make the transition.
Yeah, I totally agree. I've shared similar experiences. The newsletter is something that I do, like a weekly update of, inside the classroom. I like to share like what is the essential question or understanding of the week, and then let parents see, oh, okay, so that's what they're doing this week, and this is how it's all connected. And I think keep sharing that information, they can kind of see, you know, the mindset that you're trying to create within the classroom as such.
Yeah, it's really about building that mindset of and we're trying to build that for students around learning. That's why I love teaching in an inquiry setting, because we have these big driving questions that we are using to guide our learning. And it means that kids can constantly sort of come back to that question, and building that mindset of like, this is the question we're asking, this is what we're building, this is what we're working towards. That has been, and then being able to explain that to, like, for them to be able to go home and tell that to their parents, that this is sort of that mindset around things not being static, but things are flexible and growing and changing and organically happening in the classroom. That's been really key in helping parents understand. And I'm very thankful to have worked for very supportive administration, who are willing to let me kind of go off script a little bit from what has been done in the past. And that's really been important as well.
Great. And what resources then, or tools, or are there any professional development opportunities coming up for math specifically, math teachers who want to learn more about inquiry-based learning? Is there any resources you could point them to that I could share in the show notes?
Yeah, sure. So I'm most active on Twitter at Dean_of_math. That's the place where you can find me most often. My Instagram profile handle is the same. And I do also have a blog, which is deanofmath.wordpress.com. And I write 4 to 5 times a week, just sort of short blog posts about things that are happening in my classroom and different ideas I'm thinking about. So that's the best way for most people to find me. Twitter, definitely. Very active on that platform. And for sure, check out my blog if there's some things that have resonated with you. I do also have a book that I published in March that's called Unravel School. And it's not specifically about mathematics, but it's about some ideas around changing our assessment practices. And while it's not specifically an inquiry-based book, it is about reimagining what classrooms could look like. So it's a really easy read, and it's a great place to hear some of more of my ideas.
A huge thank you to Melissa for sharing her incredible insights with us today. In the next episode of the podcast, get ready to be inspired by Trevor McKenzie, a globally recognised inquiry educator and prolific author. Don't miss out on his valuable perspectives. Remember to show some love by sharing and liking this podcast. Have questions or thoughts to share with me? Then reach out to me on social media at Matt T. Fletcher, or drop a message via inquiryteacher.com. Have a great day.